This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to episode 50, live and loud, of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. With me, every time I do one of these, is Jake. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter, at the McAxel. He has a closet full of denim pants and black shirts, much like Ernest P. Worrell does just plain denim. And he likes to play those contemporary video games.
That is quite accurate. I like my jeans blue, I like my shirts black, and I like my music loud.
Yes, that's you in a nutshell.
I guess that's me in a nutshell. With me, as always, and doing the honors of introducing me, is Trav Plays Games. You can find him there on the Twitter and the Instagram. And I have to say, his Instagram game is becoming oh so weak.
Yeah.
Oh so weak. You need to get back on that horse. Get on that Instagram horse. Gallop.
Yeah.
Down to Photo Town.
Uh-huh.
Snap a few pics. And then take those to Photo Town on the Instagram horse.
Okay. This is a lot of time spent on a fake horse.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
As Christopher Walken would say.
I'll do that. So pimp my Instagram game up, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Get on it. Because the last thing you posted was like, I don't know, weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, some things. But, you know, if you're new to the show, and we kind of hope you're not for this one. But in general, if you've never polykilled before... the basic premise of this show is a couple cut-ups that love playing video games, and life gets in the way of that. And we have this backlog of games, both classic and new, that we want to get to, but life just keeps getting in the way, and we walk through it. We talk and walk through it.
We do, and the backlog churns, you know? If you're in sales, if you're in numbers, you know what churn is, and it just churns like a mother.
Mm.
At least mine does. Stuff goes in and out of there. All the time, just in and out.
In and out, yep. Like a ping.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
If you're hearing this now, the Collect Call 2.4 has been delayed a week. There was some bad news that happened in the Polykill family. I happened to lose my dad about a week ago, and it was a very awful, unexpected, terrible experience. But I won't go too deep into that. There's some tidbits here and there throughout the show, but I'm not trying to bring us down. I've been looking forward to this. This has been the beacon for me for the last week or so at least. But I do want to mention that Collect Call 2.4, Season 2, Episode 4, will be releasing probably Sunday, or maybe even the same day this comes out. So if you're a Collect Call lover, that's still coming. Don't hesitate. Or whatever. Whatever. It's coming.
Yeah. It'll be here.
The next Off Kilter will be recorded this next week, and it will be about run-ins with nature, Jake. You know, think of a good example for the folks. What's a good one?
A good run-in with nature. Say you're on that Instagram horse.
No, yes.
Okay?
Back to horses.
And you're galloping through the woods to Photo Town.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're on the Instagram horse, we'll call it Roach, for lack of a better horse name.
Okay.
It won't be Epona. It'll be Roach.
Okay.
You're just galloping through, looking at all the scenery, thinking of all the other things you could take pictures of, and bam, out of nowhere comes a flock of horrifying geese.
Oh.
And they just surround you and Roach, the Instagram horse, and then start biting the horse's fetlock.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's the area between the knee joint and the hoof.
Okay.
It's like the shin of the horse. So it just starts just biting the
Why don't they just call it the horse shin? Why would they call it this thing?
Because fetlock sounds great. It's a great word. It's phonetically pleasing to say. Anyway, so that would be a run-in with nature. Mine was much more metaphorical, but something like that.
Or you see a snake or a bear.
Yeah, no, those are way too passe.
Whatever.
Those. We like passe stories.
We've already gotten a few, and we wish for more of those run-in stories. Let's move on to the meat of the business, Jacob.
Okay.
Let's get into those recent pickups, and on the radar, I didn't really pick up a game. I was handed a game when I got here today.
That's true.
My dear friend Jacob here has lent me the DS version.
Oh, it's not alone. It's yours.
He has bestowed upon me,
Jesus,
graciously, 999, as they say in Germany, it's no, no, no.
Right, right, right.
But 999 for the DS, a game I've been looking for a while and been meaning to play. So thank you very much.
Quite welcome.
What about
quite,
you? You've
quite welcome.
Have you done anything? Have you acquired any things?
See, this is where I take over the show, essentially, mm-hmm. and just talk about that. Because those of you who interact with me on Twitter, you know something that happened pretty darn big in the McAxel household. And that is, I offloaded everything that I had on 3DS, including my 3DS. Mm-hmm. Now, this wasn't a decision that I made lightly. I did a poll. I did a Twitter poll, okay? And a lot of you responded. I had 25 responses to a Twitter poll. I've never ever had that many responses to a Twitter poll.
Well, you're not popular.
I'm not.
You shouldn't expect it.
I don't tweet. I'm awful at it. I'm just horrible with social media in general. Anyway, so I offloaded all of my 3DS hardware, software, aside from that, which is really the 999, which is actually a DS game, but it does play in 3DS. Anyway, the point is, I offloaded that, and along with some other trading credit that I had, acquired a Nintendo Switch.
Oh my god, a Nintendo Switch?
Nintendo Switch.
What are you, a fanboy?
I know. Now, see, the weird part about this story, this Switch acquisition, if you will, is that this came out of nowhere. Like, I have no idea why I thought to do this.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Yeah, it was just...
You've been on your PS4 Elite, Xbox XS 2, 3, right. Kick, I need to buy 5... LED panel televisions and fucking see it in NASA fucking it's right. And then you're like, I'm going to buy a Switch that I can play in my bed.
That's, yeah, I know, not it's you. It's not something that I expected of myself, and I really cannot. It's like there's this fugue state that happened, and I made up my mind that I was going to do this, and I came to still retaining that bit of information that I needed to do that. So anyway, I got myself a Nintendo Switch with the neon Joy-Cons.
Oh.
I do love those. And picked up a few games with it already because I'm such a sucker for games, as you know. So the initial title that I got with it, so one of my pickups is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which I'll talk about a little bit more later. I also, last night, picked up Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Oh, you can play that with a Latino lawyer. He loves it.
I love it as well, and we should play. And I picked up a couple of digital games. I got Severed by Drinkbox Studios. They make Guacamelee, and I love their aesthetic and love what they do with games. So I picked that up because I never got the chance to play that because it was, I think, eventually going to make its way to 3DS, or maybe did, and I just didn't get it. Anyway, pretty excited about playing that. Already dabbled a little. And the last one that I got was $5, and it's Kamiko or Kamiko. I'm not really sure where the emphasis goes, but it's a lovely little Zelda-style combat pixel art game, and having a blast with the old Switcheroo-ski.
Great, man. I'm really glad to hear it, and it kind of, you know, you getting one is kind of, maybe I can talk Brian into it. Maybe we can do another.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we will have Petey and old Switchy.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to come up with a better name, but yeah.
Petey and Sweeney. I don't know, but maybe we'll, you know, adopt another one.
Maybe you should.
You know?
Because it's, you know, I'm not going to do a full-on hardware review. Most of you know that they're awesome. But I really do love it. I love the way it feels in my hand. Mm. I like it in tablet mode. I like it docked and playing with the Joy-Cons. You know, I think I tweeted out today that, you know, last night I brought it home. And I brought home Mario Kart 8. And my wife and I played for hours, played Mario Kart, and just had a blast. So, good times.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
A game that I think is going to be a blast, now that it's almost being fully realized, we're about to get it, is Cup of Head.
Now, this is a game that I didn't think, honestly, we'd ever get to talk about on the show.
I didn't either.
I figured we'd both be, you know, in a retirement home. We've moved on from Polykill. We made money, you know, in steel or something.
Pod stars, we just, you know, we got tapped out on hookers and just went to blow. It all went downhill. Yeah. They made a fucking VH1 documentary about us. And
yeah, behind the pod.
Behind the mic.
Yeah, okay, behind the... Yeah.
Near the lights that I didn't even turn mine on.
Sure, you didn't.
But it's fine. But anyway, yeah, I'm with you. It's a game that at first when they showed it, I think, well, this will be out in no time. You know, this looks cute and indie and ready to go.
I am jazzed about the soundtrack, and I meant that in the most punific way that I could have, because I got 3 hours of original jazz music that was composed for this game, and I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be awesome.
You would be. Yeah. But yeah, that comes out September 29th on Xbox One and PC, so yeah. Get your cup of head.
Yeah, I plan on it, honestly. I think it'll probably be a $20 to $25 launch title. So I'm assuming that'll be the price. I feel like that's going to be the price. If it's more than that, I might be a little upset.
Okay.
I might wait. That's what I'm saying.
You should.
The other one for me is on my radar and will acquire, because I've already paid for it, because I backed it on Kickstarter. So this is going back a long time into the Polykill anals.
Oh.
I didn't expect that sound.
I felt like you poked me with one.
Oh, okay. And that is it's a game that I helped kickstart, Battle Chasers Night War. It's from Joe Mad, the artist behind the original Battle Chasers comic, and who did all of the art for Vigil Games when they made the Darksiders 1 and 2 games. So I love his style. He took the comic characters, made this like a love letter to old school RPGs, loves Final Fantasy. It's very much in that style. I played the beta on PC. Yes, I actually played a game on a PC for a minute. And I was like, because I initially told them and selected that I wanted it on Xbox, I think. And then as soon as I got the Switch, I'm like, I want this on Switch.
Uh-huh.
So I changed my mind and changed my selection. So around October 3rd-ish, I should have it. So I'm pretty excited to play it.
Cool.
Yeah. Should be a good old time.
Well, Jake, it's been some time. I want to know what happened last episode.
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav completed Nier Automata and Resident Evil 7 while Jake reverted to beating zero games. Jake did pick up Destiny 2 and is looking forward to playing more Uncharted Lost Legacy. The end of Half-Life, Bethesda's secret game, and the weird-ass Atari box round out the hot Jakes. Favorite adventure games and ones high on the to-do list serve as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that's what happened last episode, Jake. You didn't beat Dick. I beat two relatively new games, unlike me.
Yeah, it was very unlike you. I felt like that, our roles had sort of been reversed.
Mm-hmm.
In the previous couple of months, I was beating more games than you. And then I feel like you took that mantle back from me in a way that I would do it.
Oh, yeah.
You beat me at my own game.
I did. That's a good point.
You know? This is weird.
Save this for the VH1 behind the mic.
I guess, I should.
But that's what happened last time. So that takes us into the Hot Jakes. Hit that Hot Jake music.
We only have one.
We have one Hot Jake. This time, Jake, Doom and Wolfenstein 2 coming to Switch. Hell awaits. All right.
That was a Slayer song.
That was them. Kill the music. So what do you think about that?
So
now that you're a Switch owner.
Now that I'm a Switch owner. So here's something fun to talk about. So today, I don't know if you guys saw it, today being September 21st the year 2017. And today there were several outlets that I believe IGN and GameSpot both showed off-screen footage of Doom being ran on the Switch. I have to say, I was really impressed. Now, the graphical fidelity, I'm sure, is scaled back, but it looks and ran like Doom.
It looked
like
quick.
It was smooth.
Fast. Yeah.
Buttery smooth, which is how that game has to be played.
I could just see myself kind of nana-ing it, as in moving the controller as I'm playing.
Because of all the
fast movements. You know how, like, you give the controller to your nana and she's turning
right.
And all this stuff.
Jumping around.
Yeah, that's how I would. Maybe Switch owners are like that anyway when they play, you know, Mario Kart and whatnot. When you play Mario Kart the other night,
we play with Joy-Cons, so.
Well, how would you...
I don't think I would. I'm not good at that. I'm horrible at that.
I don't know. I might get into it. I don't know. But I don't do that.
There's no feedback. You know, it's just a wheel in the air.
That's true. It's true.
I don't do good at that.
I can see Doom getting me into it.
Yeah. I could see me bending the old Switcheroo.
Mm-hmm. Breaking it in half over your knee. Yeah, there you go.
But a couple things that I'm really excited about. One is that Doom is coming. I don't know that I'll buy it again because I already have it. Wolfenstein 2, though. The new Colossus is coming there. Now, I'm sure it'll be a somewhat scaled back version, but I do think that the folks over at Machine Games who are making Wolfenstein are probably going to be just fine getting that port to work right. I don't think Bethesda is going to release crap.
No, they would never.
But the bigger picture here, mm-hmm. which I'm sure a lot of people have already gone through, but I want to go through because this is my podcast.
Hey, do it, buddy.
Is that, you know, Bethesda is going balls deep on the Switch. And I really like that. They're bringing their old Skyrim, you know, bringing that back to the Switch. They're bringing, you know, the Doom, and they're bringing in the Wolfenstein. And
they're three probably most proud properties.
Right. I mean,
Dishonored.
Aside from maybe Fallout, which you know, who's to say that won't come? But I think there's some really, really cool things happening. And I think that, you know, I think we discussed it, that I think Bethesda might be taking a loss on some of this, at least in hours, you know, which is money. But, you know, I think they're really making a strong statement. They've never been able to be on a Nintendo platform, so I think they're really excited about it. And I think that their lead might help the third-party charge that we know Nintendo needs to make this platform successful in the long run.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody could be anti this. This is more games for everybody, right? It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, I'm happy for you.
I'm also happy for me.
I'm happy for Bethesda. And I'm,
Yeah. I mean, I was really excited to see the way Doom turned out on the Switch. Like, I was really impressed. So I'll wait to see more, and I'll wait to see what the, you know, if it launches at full retail, which I'm sure it will. But who knows? Maybe it'll eventually come down, and maybe I'll buy it again and play it on the road or play it on my lunch breaks or, you know, whatever.
In church.
Yeah.
Ha!
Fine.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
So, completed games... games that we've retired because we're too bad at them. Jake, mm-hmm. like I said, mm-hmm. I had a real bad last week.
Right.
And, you know, you got to distract yourself, you know, when things are that way.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm not anywhere. I don't really live near the thick of my family. So
right.
I spend a lot of time in car trying not to think about things, keeping a dry face. I played the generic-ass titled and generically-ass named New Super Mario Bros. DS. And
yeah.
I beat that, yeah. And it doesn't stand out at all. It's just...
super-ass generic.
Super-ass generic-ass Mario-ass game-ass.
Okay.
But I beat it.
Okay.
You know? Cool.
How long did that take you?
Oh, man. Probably...
2 hours? 3
maybe.
Hours? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Not terribly difficult. Now, I didn't do all the little side roads. There's some castles I really... because you can kind of skip certain things.
Choose your own
I just
adventure.
Streamlined it. Got the... you know, wasn't really feeling extra motivated, but I got the credits, which
okay.
was nice.
That's what we're after. That's what we're after.
You know, I'll do a few here.
Do it.
Because
you've got a few.
Yeah. A smorgasbord.
Yeah.
I beat a little game there on the Genesis called Quackshot. Now, this stars Donald Duck. It is a Disney game, obviously, but it's Capcom even.
Okay.
And you run around as Donald Duck. It's very pretty game, but it's a little janky at times. Like, hit detection's kind of a biatch.
Mm.
Some of the what you're supposed to be doing's kind of obscure. But you run around looking for treasure, you know?
As you would.
It's really themed after Indiana Jones.
Seems
starring
like it.
Donald Duck.
Seems
but,
like it.
Pretty cool game. I enjoyed it. Took me a couple hours. Beat that. Also beat a game that I would not recommend anybody play, even though it takes about 30 minutes to beat, and that is Ren and Stimpy, Stimpy's Invention on Genesis.
Those are two names I have not heard in a while.
You know, I never watched Ren and Stimpy as a lad.
I didn't either. I wasn't allowed to.
I wasn't either, but I know there are lots of butts, and I am a butt man, so I need to watch the show. They talk a lot about their hiney.
I like
that. But you basically, it's a little platformer. You get to the end and you get a piece of the what makes the invention, and then beating the game, you turn the invention on, and I don't even know what the fuck it does. I turned it off before it made sense because it was pretty awful.
Oh, it sounds it.
But
you did complete it.
I did, yes.
Okay.
I got to the end of that son of a bitch. And then my wife and I, before all of this happened, my wife and I completed Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance on the PS2. We finally did it.
Right.
I'm really happy that we did, Jake. That's, like I said, that's a decently hardcore game that I enjoyed with my wife, who does not consider herself a gamer.
Sure.
And I was very proud of that fact. And we made it
yeah.
all the way through. Really not a lot of issues. And she caught on quick. I caught on quick. I mean, hell, I'm no natural at it. But it is an RPG, and I finally beat one, so it felt nice.
Nice.
So that's cool. Got that one down. Oh, I want to also add that the ending of that game, story-wise,
okay.
pretty damn solid.
Yeah?
Like, a lot of those, like, Baldur's Gate games and just that whole kind of medieval dark fantasy thing kind of lose me, right? It's a lot
sure.
of... a lot of interwoven pieces, a lot
sometimes.
Of threads, a lot of gibberish, a lot of offshoots. And but this one was very focused, and I thought the story was pretty good, so I enjoyed it. Also finished the game you lent me, Ratchet & Clank.
Nice. What a solid, solid game that
solid
was.
Solid game. It felt like a blast from the past, really.
It you know, and... you know, I've extolled the game here on the podcast, but wouldn't you just love to see more of that
those
PlayStation properties? I would.
Gosh, aesthetically so beautiful. Such a like a satisfying, because
feels so
just
good.
A tasty thing when you get those all the nuts and bolts.
It feels very tactile, too.
It does, yeah. And fun weapons, really cleverly written. I thought it was a well-written game. Felt like you played a Pixar movie, almost.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. Really recommend that one. It only takes maybe 10 hours to get through, and you get a gun that turns things into sheep.
You gotta love that. The old Sheepinator.
Old Sheepinator.
It's a good time.
And then lastly, I'll just do them all here.
Do it. Do it to it.
Because, you know, in dark times, it's tough to be alone. Had a buddy come over the other day. We played a little Mega Man 4 and had some laughs and made it through that one. So now we have beaten, on the NES, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6.
So you're just missing 5.
Well, 5's a little expensive.
Like 100 bucks?
Running about 100 bucks. Running about 100 bucks. So we haven't beaten that one yet, obviously, because I don't own it. Could emulate it, but hey, half the fun is acquiring them for me.
Sure.
So, but yeah, Mega Man 4, I would say it's a lot like all the rest of them.
Just yeah.
More of it.
Just more of it.
Pretty
okay.
good. Pretty cool. good. That's what I did. Beat, how many is that, Jake? That's 1,
know.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Game, suck it!
It's crazy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Absolutely
6,
crazy.
Suck it!
Okay, so I guess it's my turn to talk about what exited my backlog. And I'll just graze over this real quickly. Everything that I had on 3DS is retired, obviously, including the platform. What I will also say that I completed and got credits on was the story campaign for Destiny 2. So a couple things about Destiny 2. Number one, it is leaps and bounds better than Destiny 1, in my opinion.
Leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds. Bounds and leaps. And it's not, you know, it's not the most memorable campaign. It's not the most difficult campaign. It's not the longest. But what I did to measure my experience with Destiny 2 is not what it was on its own, but how much growth there was from the first Destiny. And I feel like that growth was sizable. Uh-huh. So I appreciate that. It's hard for me to say how long the campaign was because, you know, I did some grinding and did a lot of public events, made some of them heroic, made them a little more difficult, did a striker. No, I didn't do any strikes because you can't. And then I did, you know, just a lot of roaming around and grinding to get some better gear leveled up, get my light level up, all that. So when I went back to some of the story missions after that, it became a little thin, I guess, in terms of difficulty because I was a little overpowered from all the grinding. However, I still had a good time, and that game is just mechanically sound. It's just a blast to play, and I do applaud Bungie for making a game with actual cinematics, an actual story, real characters, characters that were, you know, a little bit two-dimensional, maybe even one-dimensional at times, but they were at least memorable. And definitely a big old step in the right direction. And I think hopefully they'll just grow from there.
Yeah, from the chat, old VG Collectaholic says that it was an understatement. He played Destiny 2 2 days ago and already forgot what the campaign was about.
Yeah. Now, I didn't. So so maybe Collectaholic and you should get your memory checked. I don't know. I'm just playing with you. But I do feel like that it was, you know, weak. I definitely will say it was weak, but I do think it was much better in terms of what they did from the first game. So I applaud the growth. It's definitely not going to win Story of the Year for me.
Right, yeah. Okay.
That's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's cool, so I'm glad you have fun with it.
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to a lot more multiplayer action. Obviously, I give the PS4 Petey back to Brian soon, who will be playing Destiny 2 with you, hopefully.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got a few people I need to play with. I just haven't really had the time as of late to get into it, but I do plan on getting back in there and doing some strikes. And, you know, who knows, maybe a raid or two. I would love to do a raid. Those take a while, especially when they first release, because no one really knows what the hell you're doing. But yeah, I just enjoy playing the game and getting the gear, and you know, I'm never going to act like it's the best game in the world, but it's a fun way to spend a few hours.
Right on.
So
cool, man. Glad you're having fun with it. And do you think you'll miss your 3DS games at all?
I think there's probably going to be little moments that I'm like, I wish I could play that. But really just, you know, not to go on to the whole spiel that P1 did while sweetly whispering into my ear trying to get me to get a Switch, mm-hmm. is just the future's bright with Switch. You know, 3DS is going to be phased out in a matter of years, if not year. And I feel like most people are going to be, you know, like games that I really think make sense on a portable platform going forward, I think are all going to go to Switch and not 3DS, especially from third-party and independent developers. Like Stardew Valley, it will be perfect on 3DS, right? Two screens, you got one to manage your inventory or a map or something. That's always perfect. But it's going to Switch and not 3DS. So I think I've got more to look forward to than I do looking back.
Cool. Makes sense to me, man. Yep. It adds up.
It adds
right up. Well, is it time to get to the Just Beat It's?
Yeah, we can do the Just Beat It's.
Just beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Gunk, gunk, gunk. Beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. So, what do you want? You want to do bold or not bold? Make a snap decision.
Bold.
Okay.
I didn't even look at, what are we talking about? You just had me call out a thing. Okay, I'm doing bold. Okay, all right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Folks that just beat it over the last 2 weeks.
All right.
Jason. Ed and J Retro, who turned all his friends against him because he makes poorly timed boner jokes, beat Yotun.
Okay. Taylor, at a certain handle that I'll not try to say. Mighty Q Dog and Duke all finish Mega Man 2, a game about a confused tween who licks pickles erotically for fun.
Pickles. Diego, at a Latino lawyer, finished Chrono Trigger, a game about friends who time traveled to find if an axe growing out of their grandpa's head was genetic or because he smoked pumpkins since his 20s.
Nice. Ryan, or Rocket Sauce, it's Rocket Sauce, completed Walking Dead New Frontier, a game where a young girl survives long enough to know what the smell of dungeons really do remind her of home.
Yep. Yep, that's where dungeons went when we did it.
Yeah, that's dark.
By the way, certain nouns in here were picked by the Twitch audience. So that's
right.
Just, you know, for the playbackers, the audio listeners, the video listeners later, that's why that is important.
Yep.
Cliff, at Cliff Hikes, who has always believed that eating a crotch requires both hands and a good appetite, finished Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry. I didn't do that. They did that.
You
know what I mean? I didn't do that.
You're just the messenger. You're just a messenger. Josh at Frantic Society, a guy who has a special Instagram account of his dog gnawing on nothing but goblins. Finish Sonic Mania.
Nice.
I like it. Gnawing on Goblins. That sounds like a great name for a band.
Gnawing on Goblins?
Gnawing on Goblins.
It does. It also sounds like goblins might not be what I think it is. Like, I see if they're gnawing on goblins. Like, maybe it's not a good thing.
It also sounds like some sort of Cajun dish.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, like a cutlet of it.
Right. Yeah, them goblin cutlets. Yeah. Put it in my stew.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Caleb at Caleb J. Ross finished Nier Automata, a game where sexually provocative androids scour a desert looking for their lost weasel.
Nice. Frankie at Viper Strike and JD at Play and Leeson beat Destiny 2. Frankie and JD, of course, two guys who met online in a chat room for people whose greatest fear was waking up naked with lasagna on their face.
Heyo.
Very specific and quite hilarious.
Yep.
Good job.
So that's where all of our fun nouns went. Now it's time for the Poly Killers, folks that beat more than one game and told us about it. And again, as always, we please forgive us if you tweeted us and we missed it, especially this past week.
Yeah.
So, Poly Killers, we're going to start with Dean at round_to_gaming. He was forgotten about last week, so his beats for the last month include Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. Am I saying that right? Is that how the folks say it?
Yep.
Theater Rhythm.
Yep.
Mega Man ZX, which is a Cartridge Club portable game, I do believe. Uncharted 4, as well as Yoshi's New Island and Metroid Samus Returns.
Holy crap,
on 3DS.
He's already beat that?
Mm-hmm.
That just got here.
Yep. Samus in that one, of course, returning from a dark stint as a washed-up bounty hunter turned drunken TSA agent in Colorado Springs. Welcome back, Samus.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Kyle at Doplick beat two contrasting titles in Doom and Pony Island. Pony Island, of course, about the life and times of Pablo Escobar and his cocaine-fueled dreams of being a pony.
Oh, nice. I didn't know where that was going to go.
But it worked out.
Hmm.
It worked out.
Yes. Okay. Miles at Flock of Nerds finished Unfinished Swan, Yakuza Kiwami, and Touch My Katamari, which we would totally do, but when we try, Miles tells us he still needs to wash it.
Musty At Musty Hobbit finished Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2 and Ori and the Blind Forest, a game where nature gets wasted on mouthwash and tries to mercilessly kill you.
Wasted on mouthwash.
That's another good band name.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah.
We need to just start new, because we'll never be in a band. We should just start new podcasts.
Yes.
And we'll name one Gnawing on Goblins,
right,
where we just talk about,
I don't know,
Creole dishes.
Sure.
And Wasted on Mouthwash, where we talk about dentistry.
Yeah, makes sense.
Jeffrey at Self Destructo finished Walking Dead Season 2, Far Cry 4, and Drive, 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 the latter about a getaway driver who tries to escape a children's hospital with a cooler full of organs.
So hateful. And Scott at VG Collectaholic, who once stubbled.
No,
I'm sorry. Who once sunburned his Johnson so bad he still gets turned on at the mere thought of aloe. Finish Nier Automata and Destiny 2.
That's pretty bad sunburn.
You know, hey, you know, whatever. Just own it.
Oh, man. Well, that was it. Those are the folks. If you beat a game, please tweet at us. Send us with the hashtag just beat it, and a little screenshot. And if you would be so kind as to tell us what game it is, because sometimes I don't know by the screenshot.
Yeah, sometimes they're just vague because some of you guys play some weird stuff.
Yes, you do play some weird stuff, you weirdos.
Yep.
Games that we've added to the Pile of Shame. Just threw right on there. You know, we said, hey, this Pile of Shame is not big enough. Let's make it bigger.
Let's do that.
Yes.
So I'll go first.
Please.
So add it to the backlog. So I did purchase and will play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. However, I don't consider that a backlog game. I figure that's evergreen. That's going to be when I want to play it, I'm going to play it. I don't really care about beating it, so I'm not going to say it's on my backlog.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. So I added Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle onto my backlog. I'm going to talk about this game here and now. Now, this is a Ubisoft-developed, Nintendo-partnered game powered by the Snowdrop engine, the same one that powers The Division. It is a beautiful, beautiful marriage of Mario, Mushroom Kingdom world and lore, characters, and the zaniness of the Rabbids, who I think they have held in check enough to not be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful turn-based strategy RPG XCOM. It's so great. It's so great because...
Would you call it X-Cute?
Oh, man. That's so good.
Mm.
Yeah. but I do love it because it is, you know, it's bright, it's colorful, it's cheery. It still has all the things you like about XCOM. You can still build your party and select the team members that you want to use, and they each have specific types of guns that they use, specific abilities that they can use to either buff themselves or the team or hurt the enemies. There's an upgrade skill tree for every character. You can buy new weapons. It's, you know, fairly deep. And this is a game that I never saw coming. This is a Mario crossover that I would have never expected.
And when we saw that it was coming, hated it.
We immediately hated it, both of us.
A lot of people did.
But then I saw it.
Yeah, then I saw it.
And then I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm wrong about this.
Even their marketing stuff was cringe.
Yeah, it was very cringe.
Mm.
But when you see the game in action and when you play the game, it's just, you know, it's that same, you know, if you've listened to the podcast at all, you know, I'm a big fan of like the strategy RPG, where it's, you know, turn-based. Yeah, that. I mean, it's obviously not on that level in terms of story depth, but it's just...
Or even mechanical depth, I imagine.
It's a little bit more streamlined, but it's just so much fun to play, so much fun to watch, and, you know, they've rabbitized, I guess, a lot of the Nintendo characters and sprinkled them in occasionally, and the boss battles are fun, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's super challenging, but, you know, I've died several times and had to restart some boss battles, and, you know, it's pretty great.
Cool, man.
I really do like it. Didn't see it coming.
All right. Well, for me, because we finished off that Baldur's Gate to Dark Alliance, my wife was really pushy about getting that second one. And we were in a game store and didn't see the PS2 version. We just played the first one on PS2. Mm. But she went over and scoped it out and found it in the old Xbox section. And so now we have that one there on the OG Xbox.
Okay.
And
you're playing with the Duke?
No. We got human-sized hand controllers. We didn't use the old Duke, but we have played it a little bit even.
Okay.
And maybe I'll talk about that in side quests. but just to say that we picked it up and added it, and also added, because you know, our good friend Mickey and I beat Mega Man 4. The only other Mega Man I had laying around once we were done was Mega Man X on the Super Nintendo, so we tossed that in. I've never played it. I was saving it for that moment. I was that like, moment. I'll pick this up, because me and Mickey like to play through these together.
Right.
So I was waiting for us to get to that point. I'm not picking up 5 yet. Let's throw X in. Just love how colorful it is. It's such a beautiful game. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about all the NES Mega Mans, and they're pretty much the same. I mean, they're colorful enough, and they're pretty enough for the NES.
There's a certain pastelness to them where it's not incredibly vibrant, at least from what I've seen.
Sure, yeah. And then you throw in that SNES one, man, or Super Nintendo one, or however people want to say. I know there's a big fallout on that, and Reddit people are talking about how to say SNES or Super
SNES. See, I know, and we just had a poll about that in the club, you know?
Remember, I could give
like,
a
is
shit.
It, is it SNES? Is it SNES? Is it SNES? And like, who the fuck says SNES?
Who cares what anybody says? I don't
see. Now, I don't care how it's said, but I do think there is a right way to say it, if that makes sense.
Well, on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System,
okay,
I think Mega Man X is just a beautiful game, and I don't even know about X2 or X3. I know they exist. I've heard that they're not as fun as the first. Maybe people just say that because they can't afford them, and that's how they feel better. But it was fun. So far, so good.
Okay,
cool. What else have you added?
So I also added Kamiko. I'm never going to know how to say this, because I don't think anyone else, except maybe me and like three other people, know
Miles
this game.
Miles played it, probably.
Okay, well, Miles isn't here, so he can't help me.
Miles has probably played it.
Miles, have you played it? I don't know. Anyone else played it? Anyway, the point is, this is a $5 downloadable game that I actually, you know how you do when you get new hardware? You're like, what don't I know about this? Mm-hmm. So you go to the internet to find other people who have had it longer than you and explain to you what to do with it. So on one of those lists, it was like, here's some cheap games that you should get because they're good. And that was on the list. And it was the cheapest and actually the most highly praised. And I see why. Because it's, it's got that not tile-based, that's not the right word, but that kind of world overview look that like the original Legend of Zelda has. Maybe somewhere between, what's the Super Nintendo Zelda? I'm throwing a blank.
Link to the Past,
and art-wise, between that and the original Zelda. So it's like kind of somewhere in there. The combat is really simple. The enemies are really easy to kill, but it's just fun to play. Mechanically, it's fun. You have to, like in each world, you have to unlock 4 gates, and then after you unlock the 4 gates, you go fight the boss, and then you move on to the next level. So it's really fun little gameplay cycle and a really fun loop to play through. It's 3 different characters, one with a sword, one with a bow, and then one with, I think, some kind of magic. I'm not really sure because I haven't played those yet. But been having a lot of fun with that. It's just fun to pick up and play for a few minutes, and it's not, rough on the battery, so you can play for hours.
All right.
And hours of that. So I'm having a blast with it.
Cool, man. I think
I should be able to beat it soon, too.
I think our good friend JD has played it, and he really likes it. He was talking about it there in the chat. So
sweet.
So there's somebody you can talk to about it if you need to reminisce.
Okay.
You have one more, don't you?
I do have, and that is Severed, which I mentioned earlier by Drinkbox Studios. I think it initially launched on Vita, then made its way to 3DS, and maybe even like iPad or something. But the point of the game, it's like, imagine mixing like a old school first person dungeon crawler with Fruit Ninja, except there's demons instead of fruit, and instead of being in a dungeon, it's outside and in a lot, and it's very vividly colored, like Guacamelee was, like almost the same color palette, has that same sort of vibe to it, and it's pretty cool. I'm not really sure how much I'm going to love it, but it's just it's a real good use of the touchscreen on the Switch. So, that's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like you've added a smorgasbord.
I have.
But they feel beatable to me.
Beatable, and they're all very different.
That's true. That is true. A lot of variety there for you. Speaking of variety and things that are good.
Yes.
This episode and all of our episodes is sponsored by Caltech. Calton Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the things I just said out loud. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, be sure to send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Also, Everyone at Caltech is better at video games than... get it, Cal?
Is it? Oh.
Than Travis. But yeah, I did a Cal thing.
Okay.
Guys, if you like what you're hearing so far, and when we're not live, it's no different.
No different. We're basically the same.
You can check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. We don't pay attention to it.
We actually got a new like today.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. And I feel bad because it might be somebody that I should know. But I'm bad at things.
You are bad at things.
So
you can find us over at thecartridgeclub.org, a wonderful place full of wonderful people.
Wonderful people.
You can chat with us and a multitude of other podcasts that are there right there on the forums. You can also find out what the game of the month is, both portable and prime. Please go over there and check it out. There's a lot of great podcasts in the club. It's Cartridge Club Weekly, which will get you up to date on all the podcasts and all the goings-on in the club. There's Media Mavens. There's STC Pod. There's tons of them. I mean, I'm forgetting all of them right now because I feel pressured because the camera's staring at me. But there are several really good podcasts there, so check all those out. Polykill.com is where you can find all of our stuff, our blogs, our videos, our podcasts. That's what we do, podcasts.
Yeah.
Reach out to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com if you got that nature story that you really need to get off your chest.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Tell us all about it.
It's fun.
Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. That is the bee's knees.
That is indeed the bee's knees.
And please subscribe to our sad and less lonely YouTube channel because the club is full of nice people that subscribed.
Yes.
I'm going to go turn on that light. We can cut, right?
Sure.
Okay.
You feeling bad about that? I'm going to do this to let us know that cut that out.
It should get brighter.
It definitely did. And I'm sweating, so I've got like a sheen. So this is good. I got like a sheen, like maybe an Estevez.
Like a Charlie? Sheen?
I made that joke seconds before you, so that's cool.
But you said Estevez.
Well, that's what Charlie Sheen's real name is.
Okay.
Estevez.
I think Estevez is his name. Did the Sheens do screen names?
I don't know.
I think Emilio Estevez, that's his screen name because he was...
Yeah, Martin's Sheen.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's her dad. Okay, moving on.
Okie dokie. Let's bring it back in.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the long play. I got nothing.
Yeah, me neither. I have literally no idea what the long play is at this point.
Nothing right now that I'm committed to. I have no idea.
So bad.
What on earth could it be? I don't know.
I don't know.
I was thinking if I was keeping the PS4, I would probably commit to The Last of Us. So when I get that back, that's what I'm... So
okay.
I got one coming.
Right.
You know, when I get the PS4
it's
back.
It's in the chamber, but it's at the bottom of the clip.
Yeah,
it's not like right in the chamber. So the chamber's not right. It's at the bottom of the clip, not in the chamber.
Yeah, I mean, I get your gun thing.
Okay,
I get what you're saying.
Trucks.
I don't have anything, and I don't even know what anything could be right now. I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I really have to think about it. I don't know.
Right. See, like, because I'm a little conflicted, you know, because I really, you know, I got the Switch, right, and I want to start playing all these games on the Switch. Every time I have told anyone that I have bought a Switch, you know what the first question they ask is?
Do you have Breath of the Wild?
Every time.
But do you?
Every time.
Do you have it?
And I don't. Oh. I don't. And it's on purpose. Not because obviously I will get it. But it's, you know, if I have it, I know I'm going to disregard every other game that's even remotely like it, but that I still want to play. So I still got Uncharted, Lost Legacy, just sort of hanging out there. I still got Horizon Zero Dawn, just hanging out there. I still want to beat one of these big-ass RPGs that I told everyone I was going to when the year started. But I know if I get Breath of the Wild, that'll just consume my person, and I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to play the game, so we'll see what happens. But as of now, I don't really have a designated long play. It should be Horizon Zero Dawn, but I just don't know how much time I'm going to put into it yet.
I'm going to beat it.
I'm
well, you,
beat
you
it.
Got that, and then, I mean, do we go over it again? You got Persona that I'm excited for you to get back to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that broke up you and Miles. Like, they'll probably never come back on the show because of that.
I know.
And what were some of The Witcher you talked about at one point?
Yep. Now, The Witcher and Final Fantasy XV, I'm both waiting to play until I get an Xbox One X to get that 4K boost because I'm kind of a graphics whore, which is weird because I'm on a Switch. But I still want to play those at the highest fidelity possible. Knowing that that's in the pipeline, I'm going to wait on those. I know that.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Thinking about things. By the way, people in the chat all screamed Breath of the Wild in unison when you didn't know what your long play was going to be. So.
I know. I assumed that's what was going to happen. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. And, you know, I told a buddy of mine at work, I was like, hey, I got a Switch. And he was like, do you have Breath of the Wild? And I said, no. And, like, he scolded me in a way that only a supervisor would. And he's not my supervisor. But it seemed to hurt him that I didn't have it. Because he told me, like, he and his roommate had been playing it all summer long. And they, like, not nightly, but multiple times per week, just sit down and play it together. And how it's literally the best game ever made in the world. Rules are so consistent. And you can climb on everything. And it's just amazing.
It's a lot of hype, though, right? It's just building you up.
It's overwhelming.
You know,
it's overwhelming.
You can only be disappointed now. That's the shame of it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, so we don't have long plays. We're very sorry.
Yeah, it's bad.
We're going to move on to side quests. That's the games we don't tell our long play about, but it wouldn't matter this week. We could be big old side quest floozies.
That's right.
And it wouldn't matter.
Big old side quest floozies.
Yeah. I regret very much forgetting to sabotage your notes, but I was very busy setting up this live stream.
I sabotaged yours while you were doing all the work.
You did, which is why my wife and I have been playing a little bit of Baldicker's Gate Dankalines 2. Baldicker's Gate Dankalines 2.
Yeah.
And I want to mention, so Brian and I had talked about this because he had beaten at least the first one back in the day, and we talked about how that story ends so good, and it's almost a cliffhanger, and I don't want to spoil it, but just know
that.
It ends really well. Not that anybody listening to this will ever go back and play Baldicker's Gate 2 or whatever, but I just want to point out that the first one does recognize Baldicker's Gate the second one recognize, like, it, you know,
it acknowledges its lore.
It sure does. Now, it doesn't pick up exactly where it left off, but I feel like there's a mild tie-in, maybe not as strong as you want, but it's you know, the
sometimes that's better, right? Leave the past behind, forge your own story.
Yeah, because you are creating a new, you can't keep your character from the last game and move forward. It's created,
that's good.
You know, it's kind of making a new story, but it's much the same. It's all, it's like, you know.
Is there any improvements, like, fidelity-wise or systems-wise, inventory-wise?
Mildly, you know, I think maybe they put a little more effort into some of the voice acting and a lot of the NPC animations. But all in all, it's very much one-for-one. Like, everything is... One of the biggest mechanical or just systematic differences is that playing two-player, you now share money. Before, you did not. It was kind of gauntlet-style, get as much. But now we share the same pocketbook. Which is okay when it's just me and my wife, but if I were playing with somebody else, you know,
If you're playing with a party, that can be difficult.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we share money anyway, so it makes sense for us. We're like, I don't know if you should get that. Well, if you get that, you know, whatever. So it works out. It works out.
Right.
I'll go ahead and mention Mega Man Triple X, also on the side quest. Not going to go in depth on it again, but
you just call it Triple X and just brush right over it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weak sauce compared to Baldicker's Gate Dankalines.
That's true, but I had to do something. So I guess my side quest numero uno would be Destiny 2, and that is because I still want to be in on that, because I know it's one of those games you kind of have to, you don't have to be at the tip of the spear of it, but you have to be, you know, somewhere along the shaft of the spear to have a good time. So I don't want to get left behind like I did with Destiny 1. I won't let it control me. It could easily. It's one of those games that you can spend hours and hours and hours in. But I think that the game is going to keep me happy. I love what they did. I feel like it's a big improvement, and I'm really excited to play some more stuff within it. So that'll probably be one of my chief side quests.
Cool.
Yeah.
Breast titty 2, you say?
No, I didn't say that. You said that, but that makes sense. Yep.
I've been playing a game that I bought for my good buddy 5 years ago.
Five. That's half a decade.
It's crazy, right?
It's very crazy.
Orcs Must Die, I first took a chance on it back on Xbox Arcade, the very first one. Many years ago, when I first picked up my Xbox, didn't have a ton of games. Mm. And I went through the shop there on the arcade, and I said, well, this looks neat.
Let's play this.
Robot Entertainment
made
this game. And I just love the art style, just loved everything about it. And I played it, and I was like, man, what a gem. And it kind of caught a little bit of fire there. And, you know, I felt pretty good about taking a chance on something and coming out on top with it.
Well, it feels good.
And then when they announced the sequel, they said it's only going to be PC only. You're not going to get it on your Xbox, you stupid idiot. And they were talking to me when they said that. And so I was like, well, fuck. But it also came with co-op. Now, how are you going to not put it on Xbox and put co-op in it?
I know
what I'm saying, Jacob.
Yeah, that's hateful to us to like the co-op stuff.
Exactly. So my good buddy Josh. Who barely has a PC, he has a laptop that I think, I don't even know what he just keeps wedding pictures on. I don't know what he does with it.
I think he just, like, I think he takes the laptop that he has to play games on and just like stacks books on top of it and like just presses it like bench press.
Yeah, probably.
That's all he does.
He is a yoked man.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy.
You know,
sexy.
I said, I just gifted it to him. He got a Steam account. I gifted it to him. I said, one day we'll play this.
Right.
And it was yesterday. 5 years later, yesterday, we finally got the ducks in a row. The chat in that game is awful. We had to Discord through our phones, which really made no sense because, like, why don't we just call each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this would make sense if there were three of us, but for two of us, I really overthought that one. But
she's like, oh, we're playing a game. We have to do a gaming thing.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? Yeah. And, but we played it for a couple hours. Man, I just love it so much. That's so I can't fun. Wait to keep going on that.
Get back in it. Nice.
Yeah. Actually, nice. I would almost call that my long play. That's the game I'm most excited about getting around to these here days.
Very
Orcas
cool.
must die. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You just hate the environment. Whatever.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yep. Do you have anything else there?
Well, I did have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but I spelled it MK8D like Diego did that one time, and we thought it was some sort of Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat 8DX!
But you've managed to put a lot of equal signs between the 8 and the D, so now I have Mario Kart Penis, I guess.
Large penis. It's a lot of equal
Large
size.
Penis. Yeah, it's a lot of
Don't
equals.
Undermine the yeah. size of the penis.
No, it's decent. It's decent. So that would be my other side quest. You know, I already mentioned that my wife and I sat around with the Joy-Cons, played that, and, you know, we turned on some 90s rock playlist and just had a nice nostalgic evening. And
does 90s rock really complement the Mario Kart?
Here's what we found.
Giant ASCII penis experience.
So, there's a replay system I think you're probably aware
of.
Oh,
of course, yeah.
And, like, if you... I think... I can't remember which button you hold down, but it'll put it in slow-mo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll slow things way down.
Yeah.
So if you do that with the right music, it's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, name some tunes that just make
well,
it
like
great.
Like, Jumper, Third Eye Blind.
Oh.
And like,
edge,
you're
my
falling,
friend. I see
you're,
it.
You're falling off a ledge and you just do it in slow motion. And especially, like, after you just won... And, like, yeah. your character's just waving as it goes. It's pretty, pretty great.
That is awesome. Yeah. Your own idea.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
by just, happenstance, it just turned
yeah, she,
out amazing.
She was, like, she was playing, she was like, hey, can we play some tunes? I was like, yeah, just Bluetooth that thing up to that Bluetooth speaker, and we'll just sit here and play Mario Kart and listen to Three Doors Down.
Listen to, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was cool. It was a good time. Yeah.
All right.
Super happy about that.
Well, now it's time for the D-Scoosh.
D-Scoosh!
And, of course, we sent out a tweet and said, hey, yo, send us in your questions, because it was a weird week. We didn't have time to think of anything real good to talk about, so we thought maybe we'd let you guys kind of dictate that for us.
Yeah, we do like getting dictated.
Yeah.
We like getting dicked right in the tape.
Yep. So what are we going to do here?
I guess just...
Should I go? Do you want to go first?
I don't care.
I feel like I always go first.
That's fine. I mean, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? You, like, you don't care or something? What do you say? You don't care about the show anymore? Well, you know, whatever.
I don't. I mean, just. Let's just go.
What? You trying to rush it along or
no,
something?
No, I'm just trying to produce. I'm just trying to produce.
Oh, you're such an idiot sometimes. I do all the work around here. I get no thanks.
Hey, who just went on like a 30-minute, no, more like a 40-minute journey?
Oh.
To get all the fucking cables that we needed.
Who brought 7 computers down here and sweated into their motherboard and fried it trying to get this going and was only 11 minutes late? Fine. Fuck you. Right. I'll just read it. So the
read
first
it.
Question is from at Flock of Nerds. Have you two ever been in a fight with each other? No.
No.
No. Creative differences ever got heated? Can't think of a time.
Nope.
Share your drama skeletons, please. They're really none. We get along pretty well.
That's fine.
This place, it operates like a greased wheel.
Yeah.
At a Latino lawyer, what is the toughest game Rusty has ever beaten? Now, for those of you that don't know, and you might not, because our YouTube channel is a dark well of sadness, last summer... I took my shirt off and did a few things there where I pretended to be a redneck character, Rusty Calhoun, who, and I was making particularly fun of Metal Jesus by pointing out some hidden gems in my collection, which just so happened to be some of the most popular titles and most well-regarded titles.
And people are reacting to Musty in the chat, or Rusty in the chat. Musty is reacting to Rusty in the chat.
Right,
wow,
right, of
blowing
course.
My mind right now.
And of course, Rusty talked like this, you know, a real slow-talking fella right there, and... If I had to say the toughest game Rusty's ever beaten, I'd have to go back and probably say I got to the second round of the playoffs with the Browns in Madden 06. I mean, I got real far, man. I don't remember who the quarterback was, but we got pretty good. I mean, I did auto draft and basically got picked up like Tom Brady. I had Peyton Manning at center. Like, we were good, man. So, that's the toughest game Rusty Calhoun's ever beaten.
Nice.
You're welcome, my Latino lawyer. As Rusty, a Latino lawyer, asks another question.
Yeah.
What's the worst Atari Jaguar game at Trav Plays Games owns, and how bad is it rated in flatulence stench?
That's a tough pair of words to smush.
Yes. Now, I would have to say that the worst Atari Jaguar game that I own is probably Kasumi Ninja. It's a fighting game, and I don't know how the hell you're supposed to play a fighting game with a controller shaped like your grandma's telephone, but it ain't easy. And I would equate the stench to maybe a very ill raccoon who has just ate boiled hot garbage out of the asshole of another dead raccoon. I would say that is the stench flatulence rating scale, which numerically is maybe a 10. It's pretty bad.
Okay. Yeah. That's
disgusting. Or a 10 out of 10 in terms of badness.
Yes.
A 1 in terms of goodness, or 0.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe sure. maybe a 0.2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, disgusting. Okay. All right, so next question. And this is from Miss Q-Dog of the Q-Dog fame. How long is the torture? I mean training for a Polykill internship.
I think when it stops being funny, which was probably about a week in.
So we're up to day 35 now,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the intern, you know, he's hanging in there. He's a good kid, Brett.
He didn't get this shit together though.
He didn't. No, he
like you can't see, but we're like that. It's just a room of wires and like dust. Like that wasn't even in here an hour ago. We got computers on the wall. There's like someone standing in the door that we don't even know.
Yep. We are an errant spark away from just being charred to death.
We're in the mouth of the beast.
Yes. Yes. 101 Polykill Plaza is not approved by the fire marshal.
It is a fire series.
But yes, I don't know how long he'll be tortured, probably when people stop liking the tweets.
Yeah.
At Mighty Q Dog, he says the Halo series has medals for various levels of kill streak. When will Polykill implement such a reward system? You know, for the Polykills.
There we go. See, this is good.
Now, this is something that we've actually tossed around how to make it more special than just dropping a few Michael Jackson quotes and making some ad libs.
Right.
That's all cool, but how do we make it even more meaningful? Do we have a leaderboard or anything like that? I don't know. I don't know how much work it would take.
Right. There is an honest idea that I have had. I haven't really had the time, energy, or general know-how of how to make this happen. But that is what I like to do because, you know, every time we use you indulge us with your screenshots and your Just Beat It hashtags, there's a screenshot associated. What I would love to do is like maybe make a Pinterest board. I don't even know what that is, but I've heard good things about it.
We'll do that.
Something.
We'll make a thing
some
on
kind
Etsy.
Of like a, yeah, you know, almost like a coffee table book. Yeah, I don't know. Not like a real one, but somewhere digital where we could just like go back through it and kind of like a, you know, like a memories book where you can just like, oh, here's the date and here's the screenshot and here's the tweet. And we could just like keep it. And, you know, every time that we get one of those, we just add it to that. And then like it's open to the public. People can click through and find like the screenshot of the game and see who beat it and all that stuff. I think that would be really cool. So it's not like a reward, but it's a little, you know, digital keepsake.
It would be a great job for an intern.
It
would be. If you're interested in an internship, we're about to kill the one that we have. So please shoot us an email at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. But no, it's a really good point. I think specifically polykillers. You know, we do everybody that sends one. But, you know, if you beat a shite ton of games, maybe cool to get a little bit more than us making fun of you.
I think so. I think it would be really cool. And, you know, not to get deep or sentimental, but we don't know how long that we're going to get to do this.
Don't know.
And it would be really cool to have something that would live on even after, you know, Polykill is long since forgotten.
For as long as this room is flammable, we're always at risk of it being our last episode.
It's true. It's true. But anyway, that's just a thought I had. So there is your answer. So we'll okay. move on.
All right. Thank you for being assertive and ending that entire conversation.
Moving on.
Kyle at Doplick, he asked Kyle us a few, and I appreciate that, Kyle, because we didn't get a ton,
and a lot
of these are really good. He says, what's one game on both your backlogs that feels like the bane of your existence? And we all know mine.
We all know yours, and for those that don't know, it's Final Fantasy VII.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It's a game I'll never beat.
Yeah.
And it might be Final Fantasy II very soon, and Dragon Quest VIII. It might be all of those... Eventually tied for first place. That's... As bane of my existence.
As bane of your existence. I am your bane. Yeah. Yes, brother.
I think that for me, it's hard to say because there's so many out there that just linger because I'm an experience whore with games. You know, I like to dabble a lot. I don't stick around. I'm not like a long commitment kind of guy. You know, I'm in and out of town, love them and leave them. You know, I'm like the wanderer from that song that everyone loves, but don't realize I guess it's such a philanderer. But anyway, I think for me, honestly, it's probably Skyrim.
Huh. Skyrim?
Game is 5 years old. I've probably spent 130, 140 hours in that game. Never beat it.
But not because you can't.
It's not because I can't, but it's one that just sort of hangs over me.
Get around to it, man.
I know, but you know how many games I've got?
I know.
And like, why would I jump back 5 years? Probably because it's coming to Switch and I'll probably get it for Switch again. But I think it's...
My wife has beaten it twice.
So?
Damn nigh 100%ed it twice.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
You know, I mean, there are other little ones. And that when I say little ones, I mean, there's some, you know...
That, some old school stuff?
Not really, because I don't have a lot of old school stuff, you know? I don't really...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but actually on my backlog, you know, there's Fallout 4 that still has been beaten. There's Persona 5 that's still hanging out there. So, you know, I've got... It's hard for me to narrow it down, but I think, like, in terms of of duration, Skyrim's been on my backlog the longest. And I've played it a lot and still haven't beaten it. So that's how I'm choosing to answer that.
Very cool, man.
Okay.
Well, again, mine. I bring them up very often. So they're no secret. Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
Your greatest gaming accomplishment. Jake, what is it for you?
Oh, man.
What would you...
Oh,
if someone were to make a plaque for a game that you've beaten and you could hang it over your mantle, what would you want it to say? Please answer and take a long time so I can think of mine.
Yeah, see, I'm working on it right now. Like a few accomplishments come to mind. And this was fairly recent, and since we've been like associated with the club, with that high score battle that me and that one fellow whose name escapes me, we had that high score battle on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, and we just continued to duke it out all month. That was a blast. And I feel like, you know, my high score is definitely not even in the world ranking. But for me, you know, getting millions of points in a 3-minute run on Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, that's kind of a big deal personally.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love those games, and I, you know, I feel like that is, you know, not everyone can do that. So I feel a little special having done it.
You are so special.
You know.
Man, for me, I think when I finally, and maybe it's sort of one of those things that once you do it the first time, it's not a big deal. But beating Contra for the first time.
Oh, and that's fairly recent for you, too.
Yeah, it was such a bastard, especially as a kid. And I got the, you know, I had it. It was a game I grew up getting beat by.
Ugh.
You know, it wasn't just one that, it wasn't like...
It punished you.
It wasn't like the Mega Man or the Castlevania that I just grew up knowing were hard and didn't have a lot of experience with.
Right.
This was a game that firsthand kicked my ass several times. And so to finally get over the hump and beat it, and then beat it over and over again just because I was like, I wonder if I can beat it without dying at all. Which is...
That's pretty cool.
It's not a thing I do commonly. Usually, once I get the credits, I'm out. I'm ready to move on.
So
that was pretty cool. There's a couple of those. Like, beating Castlevania recently was really cool. Like, a lot of those old games are just hard, and just having beat them means a lot to a retro collector dude like me. A little feather in the cap.
Yeah.
That's beating cool. Metroid was great.
That felt good.
That felt real good.
That felt good. We did that together, and that was a good time.
Yeah. That Super one and Metroid 2, which the remake of that just came out, also felt pretty good to beat. And I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was a good time. I don't feel like it, like, that was more of like a, I don't know, it feels like a amendment to beating the first Metroid. Not like it doesn't stand on its own as a huge thing to me, but having beat both of those.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I think it feels good. We just need to finish that Super Metroid eventually.
Yeah, wouldn't hopefully before the save battery dies.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Good question, Kyle. We got one more from you. What is one dream game idea you wish would be made, but probably never will? I think it's easy to jump toward a licensed property here. And okay. You want to think about one that you'd like to see in game form. Hmm. Might not, you know, maybe it was a property that was real popular back in the day and just now it's not. And so its time is gone. You know, I'm trying to think of something like that. I don't have anything to stick out.
Oh, I really felt like you were on a path.
No, but I'm thinking that's where it's going to be. Like, I'm trying to think of a favorite movie or something that I watched as a kid or something that just I was like, man, what a video game this would be.
Okay.
I know that's got to exist.
Yeah. Okay.
You got anything?
Well, I've always had this idea, and it's been close to realized a few times, but I love the idea of stealth games, but I'm really bad at them, you know.
Impatient.
I just feel, well, it's not even that. It's just I feel like that the world rules are never programmed accurately in a way that I feel like stealth games actually work, because I feel like there's, you know, you've got the vision cones, which aren't really realistic. You've got like the last place that you've been seen, which isn't terribly realistic. I mean, they're sort of these abstract ideas of what can happen in the real world, but I've never felt like they've been perfect. So for me, I've always had this idea of a stealth game where you actually had to pay attention to the world around you, what people were saying around you. Like, I've had this like glimpse of a thing in my head where Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, it sort of felt like that more than any other thing. But like where you're sneaking through this enemy camp and you're like hiding between tents and buildings. But like to actually progress, you had to be observant and overhear what people were saying and not just, you know, find a box with a key in it or something.
Mm-hmm.
So like my ideal would be just like a stealth game where the world rules are actually in play and not some system that's in play.
Interesting. Ambitious.
Yeah, I mean, it probably never happened because, I mean, you'd have to just recreate reality in a much more realistic sense than we do. But, you know, like, I think it might be close at some point, but I think that would be really cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
I think mine clicked.
Okay.
I don't think we'll ever see it.
Okay.
But I think it'd be cool. Even though I'm bad at RPGs, I think a never-ending story RPG would be fun.
Oh, shit, fam. That'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine when you got to the part of the game where you got to ride Falcor.
Be so good.
Or even a little action scene. Maybe it's almost like a Nier. It's multi-genre, and you have to actually, there's a little action sequence where you got to jump through the eyeball lasers.
Right, things. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, like wearing on Falcor, it's like a shmup.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can see it being fun.
But yeah, I agree.
Be long. You know, they could embellish parts.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
It'd be cool.
It'd be cool. So that was mine.
Yeah, cool.
All right, now we're moving on to Viper Strike. Good old Frankie. Good old friend Frankie. I don't even know if Frankie showed up tonight.
That
son of a bitch.
I don't know if he did.
Son of a bitch. He says, gun to the head, absolute favorite console and slash library. So what was the console library combination that really tickled you right where your goiter used to be? Mine is the Super Nintendo. I
knew that was going to be your answer. Yeah,
I think it's got to be that. Now, I'm a NES lover, buddy. I have tons of NES games. I enjoy the NES very, very much. That Super Nintendo's got some strong-ass titles in it.
It do.
Strong-ass titles in it. Some of the greatest. And I think the NES, a lot of those games laid the foundation. The Super Nintendo just polished it all so much. And then we moved on to 3D.
Right.
So that's, I don't know, just kind of really love that library, man.
Yeah.
Most people do.
I'm probably going to get shit for this, but that's okay.
Is it the Jaguar?
It is not the Jaguar. I'm going to have to say PlayStation 4. And
I don't think that's crazy.
And the reason why is some of the best gaming experiences I've ever had have been on the PlayStation 4, whether it's Uncharted 4, what I've played of Last of Us. Journey is playable on PS4. There's such a wide variety of games, genres and styles, and so many things that I can do on the PlayStation 4, where, you know, a lot of the retro consoles are very limited. Like, there's only so much they can do with PlayStation 4. I've played some great shooters like Destiny. I've played some great walking sims like Gone Home or, you know, I think there's just a lot to draw from on the PlayStation 4. And, you know, some of the best AAA games from third-party developers shine really bright on PS4. And some of their internal stuff that they do is, you know, great and just looking great, you know, into the future, like God of War, things like that. So
that's true.
It's hard to beat for me in terms of what I've experienced there. And it's not like a graphics thing and it's not like a newness thing. It's just there's so many different things I can do on PlayStation 4.
I don't think that's a wrong answer at all.
Well, I mean, there isn't one.
No, but I mean, you said you get
it's
shit
probably
on.
Not popular.
I don't think a lot of people are going to beat you up over that. Now, if you said like the Xbox One, you know, people would be like, right. People would have a case. Yeah. They'd be like, but the library is pales compared to the PS4. You know, I think people could say that. But no, I don't think it's a bad answer there, friend. Frankie, also, this is the last question, by the way. He says, movie, TV show, book that you think could be successfully adapted to a game. I already sort of answered that, but I'll come up with a new answer for this one.
Okay.
And what genre and who would dev it?
Okay.
Who would develop it?
So,
it's a similar question, but...
Yeah, it's quite similar. But I like the developer part. That's a nice wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've discussed it a little bit, but I would love a Ninja Turtles game developed by Telltale.
Yeah. Like
just, you know, quick time event combat where that's not the focus. It's the story, it's the drama, it's the humor, and the world. And I think that would be a license that they could easily jump onto. You know, people have tried making action games out of that for a long time. And we saw what Telltale did with Borderlands where, you know, that's a shoot 'em up RPG. That's all you do is shoot. And they took that world and that lore and made something great with it. So I think something with the lore as rich as Ninja Turtles, they could do something cool.
It's really good, man. That's like almost stealing mine.
I know.
That's pretty good, though.
But you weren't talking, so I did.
No, I know. I think it's really easy to pick Telltale out because those, you know, if you want a good narrative, you know, it's kind of hard to go wrong with Telltale, right?
I mean, They're good at telling stories.
They are. And, you know, some jank in the game still got that Telltale jank.
Yeah, but in general...
Really good writing. Oh, man, movie, a TV show, or a book. I'm trying to think outside the box. Maybe do a random TV show.
Okay.
Maybe I just do a detective game around making a murderer. I really like that series. That was a TV show. No, I'm kidding. Gosh, I just don't fucking know.
You know, I think a great Star Trek game is still yet to be made. I think, you know, something, you know, Sherlock Holmes have dabbled a little bit.
Yeah, and those are pretty decent.
They're not bad.
They're okay.
What about
It's
tough.
It's tough.
I mean, it's so wide open.
It's very wide open.
But I like it. I like it. I like trying to find stuff. Someone just said Battlestar Galactica by BioWare. That was Brian. That's smart.
Sure. Yeah, if that's
as long as it's the A team, not the Andromeda team, not the B team.
If that's what you're into, yeah. Oh, man, I can't think of anything too original. Mm. Something that comes to mind.
Spit it out, man.
Like maybe like a
spit it out.
Justice League sort of, not a, you know, maybe just like a almost like what Platinum Games does,
okay,
but just using that property. It'd be more hack and slash, but.
Be fun.
You know, a lot of those characters now are really prominent in fighting games, and I'd want to go more on an adventure with them, so I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
That's all I can really think of right now. I'm going to kick myself tomorrow.
Right, and I'll be there for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. I think that's the show, everybody.
Yeah, seems to be.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for putting up with it. We'll close it out here. I'm at Trav Plays Games.
And I'm at the McAxel. Sorry, I really
zoned out.
I just zoned out.
Fucking zoned out right at the end of the show. Together we are at Polykill. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Rate us on iTunes. Come visit us at polykill.com. Stop by thecartridgeclub.org. Of course, that is org now. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
And be sure to email all of those nature stories to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Peace.